Hello, TSF family. We wanted to start off by saying thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast and for your hard work to love yourself more and for your feedback.
Can you believe it's been 3 years that we've been doing this spiritual fix, and it has been such a beautiful labor of love for Anna and me.
We have loved doing this work. We've loved hearing from you, and we love exploring ourselves and each other alongside our listeners.
We wanted to put out the call for 3 ways that you can help support us to support you.
One, we would love you to leave us a review on iTunes or follow us on Spotify.
2, drop us an email and let us know how much the podcast means to you.
And 3, you can donate monthly or even just once to our PayPal patronage.
Every little bit helps, and we are so grateful to those of you who have donated already. Thank you.
You help make this podcast possible.
Thanks, y'all.
You can go to our website, www.thisspiritualfix.com, for information on how to pledge as well as to email us. Hello and welcome to episode 18 of season 6 of This Spiritual Fix. Today we are going to be covering the third human design, in which we are talking about gates, channels, and incarnation crosses. Hope you enjoy!
Hypnosis. Mindfulness. Meditation. Past life regression.
This spiritual fix. Two mystical mamas hacking the self-help game.
With Anna Stromquist
and Christina Wiltsey.
Hey, Christina.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. Maybe because I'm a Leo and we're in Leo season. Or maybe because it's Lionsgate, which is like this time period when I think it's Sirius lines up with Leo, and it's supposed to be a masterful time for manifestation. I think it's the end of July to like mid-August. I don't know, but I'm feeling great. How about you?
That's amazing. I have felt this week has been pretty rough. It's been pretty rough.
Oh, really?
I think the Debbie tropical storm came through here, and it was like super spacey. I was like first really angry for a whole day, and then I was like super space cadet for a whole day, and then I was just like didn't want to do anything for a whole day, and just like a lot of turmoil and so much shit with Mercury retrograde. I'm just like
did Mercury in retrograde, it happened, went in on August 5th. It'll be done relatively soon. It's a short one, I think August 14th or something, and then it doesn't happen again till December. So miscommunications and all that. Did I tell you the funny thing my sister sent me about how female named hurricanes and tornadoes kill more people than male named ones?
I have seen that. And I'm just, it kind of makes me a little bit like, I mean, I think it's kind of like perfect, right? It's because, well, go ahead. Tell why.
Oh, well, no, it's because, so they've done all these studies, and the women, you know, Hurricane Beryl, I don't know about this new one, but like whenever the hurricane or whatever is named a female name, there's more mortalities, and it was statistically significant, and it didn't make any sense because I think it's every other hurricane is male, female or something. It's
right. It just really shouldn't work out that way, that like, it's not that they're stronger at all.
Yeah. Right. It turns out that people are less intimidated by female named hurricanes. And so more people take bigger like risks. They're less likely to hide. And so they're more reckless. And that is why there are more deaths.
Oh my gosh. I literally was just talking to someone about how we have this like inherent hatred for women. And it's seen very carefully. It's like, it's very prevalent in the experience of Mother Earth, and like, oh, Mother Earth's done this. And yet it's like, and on the one hand, we see Mother Earth as like this ruthless, you know, she'll hit this house and she'll hit this house, but she won't hit this house. We like see her as this like malevolent force. And then at the same time, we aren't afraid of the hurricanes that are female, and it's very confusing and unfortunate. Less intimidated by. Oh my God. How are you doing otherwise?
I'm good. I've been working on getting more protein in my diet, as I've heard that a lot of women, as we age, we should be eating more protein. So I've been on a daily mission to get a lot more protein into my diet. I don't know. I feel like I have more energy, if that's even possible. And I'm sleeping better and I'm just enjoying it more and I'm snacking less and I like it. Yeah.
That's amazing. That sounds really good.
Yeah. I've just been enjoying that. What about you? Are you still gluten-free and all that jazz?
I am still gluten-free.
And all that jazz.
It is. I'm going to take my gluten and my life's going to be boring and all that jazz. I'm gluten-free and I'm also trying to incorporate a lot more like local foods. I really appreciated what somebody said at this event that I went to, which is like, you should always, if you want to look after your gut health, which obviously is like your second brain, it's actually probably your third brain. I figure your first one is your heart, your second one is your gut, and your third one is your brain. And maybe your fourth one is your yoni, but maybe that's also, you know, like there's all these centers that like determine things and we always think of them as brains. But anyway, where you need to, if you want to develop your gut health, you should develop a relationship with a farmer or somebody who has a relationship with the soil, because you can't negate the fact that like your gut biome is directly related to the food that you eat. And if the food that you eat is not with somebody who is cultivating a relationship with the soil, like you're not going to have as good a gut health. And so like it was a farmer's advice on this panel about gut health, about how to like maintain it. And she was like, be in a first degree relationship with somebody who has a direct relationship with the soil and get your food from them.
I love that. And it's really interesting because I was looking at this study, this report about immigrants who moved to the United States. And like, as the longer you spend in the United States, the less diverse your gut biome becomes.
Yes.
When they look at samples, and it's like our food is so sterile and so processed. And it really takes a toll on our gut health.
Yeah. And therefore all sorts of other things. I also wanted to mention about the sibling episode that we had last week, that we had a lot of feedback that we should have a sibling wound episode. How are you feeling about a sibling wound episode?
I think we should, well, we'll talk about it later, but I think it'd be great. I think we need to talk to a family constellation practitioner for that episode. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
have you ever done that?
I've not. And if there are any family constellation practitioners who are listening, or if you guys know one, this.spiritual.fix@gmail.com. Email us. I like that idea.
Yeah. So Christina, tell us what we're talking about today. I'm excited for this episode.
We are doing Human Design 3. I got a lot of really good feedback from Human Design 1 and 2. And so I am down for 3. I think we probably have 4 episodes in this, in that like, one was about strategy and authority and like, what's your type? Are you a projector? Are you a manifester? Are you a generator? Are you a manifesting generator? Are you a reflector? And what is your authority? And how like some of the most basic parts of human design is all about following your strategy and authority. The second one, we talked about the centers and we talked about what it was to all the 9 centers, what it means for them to be defined, undefined, and how that kind of determines a lot of things as a result of that. This one, we are going to be talking about the old school OG human design, which is where it came from in the first place, which is about gates and channels and incarnation crosses. Like those are the 3 things we're talking about. If we do a 4th one, we'll talk about variables and all that jazz. Why is there so much Chicago, all that jazz? I think I've said that like 4 times. but today we're going to be talking about gates and channels and incarnation crosses. And the reason that it's the OG is you can really understand how the whole system was built up as a result of, in particular, gates, because it's closest thing to its astrology in its structure. And then it also explains how almost everything else is derived from it, because the types and the strategies and the authorities literally came like way later in the development of human design. So just as a little evolutionary experience with understanding the development of human design. All right. So we are going to be talking about gates first, because everything in gates is the basis for human design. So I want to encourage you guys, geneticmatrix.com or Jovian Archive are 2 places where you can get your chart. So I would encourage everybody to pause right now and go get your chart. I am not going to be going through all 64 gates, but I am going to be letting you know and pointing out things that are really important for you to be able to see so that you can then look into them even deeper. And then in the show notes, I'll put basically a couple of really good resources. One in particular, there's a woman named Krista Inga, and she interprets the gates in a very specific way that I feel like is very, very useful. So you can look up your gates and you can understand what they mean and all of everything around that. Okay. So do you know how many placements there are in astrology? I feel like there's like 12, no, there's 13 placements. Placements, by placements, I mean like your sun, your moon, your where all the planets are at any given time, right? There's like 12 or 13 placements, right?
You have the 12 houses. And so the variety is just like infinite, I feel like.
It is. It's very infinite. But interestingly, when you look into gates, you actually recognize that, again, the basis of human design is based off of, in particular, 13 placements, okay? So it has all the traditional placements of astrology. It has the sun, the moon, the north and south nodes, the Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. It does not have like Chiron, I don't think. There may be that, but that's like a super, super niche form of human design that I am not aware of. Like, you know, the asteroids and all that kind of stuff that like when you get super into astrology, you can get into. So these placements are very important because these placements determine what of the 64 gates you actually have lit up inside of your system at any time. So if you are looking at your human design chart, you'll see on the right side that there are black boxes. And this is kind of in the traditional design, again, with genetic matrix or Jovian archive. You have black boxes on the right side and you have red boxes on the left side. And both of these are representations of, they each will have a symbol in them. And then they'll have a number and then they'll have like 37.6. 37 is the gate, .6 is the line. Okay. And so I'm kind of getting into the details of this because it's going to make sense here in a second for what you're looking at. Okay. So at any given time, each of these 13 placements, it's basically the same ones from astrology plus the earth, which is always opposite the sun. So there's an earth placement. There's no earth placement in astrology at all, right? At any given time, there are 13 placements and they are transiting a gate, meaning that your moon is transiting gate 6, right? It's the same equivalent to your moon transiting, you know, 32nd degrees of Aquarius, right? So it's basically the exact same equivalent, but basically instead of using the houses or the zodiac signs, they're using a gate. Okay. So basically just imagine the placements are looking at a gate, and there are 64 gates because, as I mentioned in the first episode, the 64 gates are representative of the 64 hexagrams in the I Ching. Okay. And so this is a channeled system. And so it has a very specific way of doing things. But at any given time, the 13 placements are transiting a gate. And what happens in your chart is that the snapshot of wherever your placements were and whatever gates they were is taken. That represents the right side of your chart. Those black boxes on the right side of your chart are the representation of the placements. And within those placements, you basically have, yes, what's up?
Wait, you mean the snapshot of the moment you were born, right? Is that what you mean?
That's what I meant. Did I not say
okay,
that?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So basically each gate is in transit for 6 astrological degrees. Right. So very similar to the same degrees that you see on an astrological circle, like that thing, the exact degree determines what gate it is, but also what line it is. Again, we're not going to get into lines today because it's like so deep. And it's actually probably only so deep, not so deep, but it's pretty deep. So what you see is that you have 64 gates and each of those gates has 6 lines, which means that there are 384 possibilities for each placement in your chart. When you have a placement in your chart, that is an activated gate or it's a defined gate. You'll see that there are 2 sets of placements, right? You have the right side, which is where the placements were exactly at the moment you were born. And then you have the left side, which are what are called our unconscious gates. They're basically the design gates and they take place 88 days before we were born. basically, if my birthday is, for instance, March 1st, and 88 days before March 1st is December 4th, and December 4th was my design date, which is the exact placement of everything at my design date and time is on the left side of your chart. The exact placement of everything on the moment you were born is on the right side of your chart. And the reason that this is important is because your 13 placements suddenly become 26 placements, right? Because you basically have two dates. You have a date that you were born and a date 88 days before you were born. It's basically exactly a quarter. It's like when your sun is at 90 degrees of when it is when you're born, which is important for the incarnation cross later. It has to do with the theme of your life. So I don't know which one came first, but I can tell you that the 88 days is crucial to creating your incarnation cross, which is all about your purpose and theme in life. Because it literally forms a cross, right? It's like the sun. And if you have if your birth sun, if your personality sun is, you know, at 0 degrees, your design sun is at negative 90 degrees. And then the earth is across from the sun and blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that in a second. I'm getting way too much into geometry. And so we will carry on. Okay. So the basic idea is that you're going to see on the chart that you've pulled up at any given time that you have a whole bunch of little lines that are going in between all of these bigger shapes, right? And if you take those lines, for instance, if you have a line, the head, that very, very top triangle has three different gates in it. It has 64, 61, and 63. If you have one of those lit up, that means if it's red, you're going to see gate, say, 61 on the left side. And if it's on the right, if it's black, it's going to be on the right. And you're going to say, like, oh, I have gate 61. That's my placement. Does that make sense, Anna? I'm kind of trying to describe something.
Yes, I'm looking. So, for example, on mine, 64 and 63 are lit up in red.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go on down the column, I see 64 and 63.
Exactly.
There's nothing black for me though.
Right. Exactly. So yours, everything that's in your head, every gate that's in your head is something it's kind of more of a shadow, or it's more unconscious. It's something that you're not necessarily aware of, but I'll get to that in a second. So that's the kind of, you can translate and you can see how this gets built, because the placements, which are your astrological placements and the exact light up a gate, that gate then corresponds to, is then lit up on your body graph, which is the one with all the centers. And then when those connect to each other, that's how you determine everything else, like your strategy, your type, your authority. Everything is a combination of these two sets of dates and how they combine into your body. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the nature of gates. I talked about how, and this is, we're going to be talking generally about gates, both the red and the black ones, both the personality and the design, is that you are recognizing that these gates you always have access to. These are energies that you always, always have access to. So Anna, give me an example of a black gate that you have lit up inside of your body graph.
I don't have any.
Yeah, you do. You're going to have 13 of them.
So no, I don't have a circular red, like, see how I have red circles over certain thing numbers. Yeah. I don't have that, but I do have black, like, snakes.
Yes.
Like sticking off the side.
Yes. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Right. So,
okay. So I'm a 64, for example, I think.
Yep. You have a 64 that's black. You also have a 12 that's black, and a 26 that's black, and a 19 that's black. So we're going to do, I'm just going to tell you about I'm going to tell you about one of your gates. Okay. I'm going to choose 64 because 64 is something that's both conscious and unconscious. This is called the before completion confusion gate, is gate 64. And this is something that you have access to both consciously and subconsciously. Krista Inga calls it the imagination station. It's all about the fact that you may experience, when you're doing something, you may experience a fair amount of confusion as a result of it. Like you're basically, whenever confusion comes up, you have a tendency and an ability to move through that confusion with your imagination and your creativity. Right. And I can think about this in spades, right? Like if there's confusion in your family about what they're supposed to do, you're going to come up with some imaginative solution for moving through confusion with creativity, right? By creating like an amazing board and everybody knows exactly what charts they need to do, like what chores they need to do or something along those lines, right? Like this is something that you have access to that you use your creativity to move through confusion. Okay. Another one
totally
that I
agree.
Yeah. And so another example of that is you also have the gate 31, which comes from your throat down to your G center. And let's see what that is. Gate 31 means that you're a natural leader. You reverently lead others into a fair and just vision, right? So it's like this influence of being influential and having equanimity in the way that you're influencing people, which I think is absolutely true.
Can I ask a question? And I hope this applies to other people too. My gate 12, the stick is coming off, but it never reaches another triangle. Is it a half-ass gate?
So this is exactly this really, really key thing. Okay. So gates, every single circuit in the body has two gates. It has one on one side of it and one on the other side of it. And in order to create a channel, you have to have both gates lit up, right? So to Anna's point, there is a hanging gate. Her gate 12 is hanging, meaning only half of it is lit up and the other half is not lit up. It's just kind of hanging in the middle of nowhere, right? And this is a really, really key part of gates, because what we recognize is that so often when we have, these are genuinely actually called hanging gates because of the fact that oftentimes when we find somebody, when we're magnetized to somebody, we are magnetized because they have the other side of the gate. They have a hanging gate on the other side, right? So they're completing connections within you that you're like, oh my God, this feels so good. I can like totally run this in a totally different way.
Okay. So this is why you once told me why I sleep so good when my son sleeps with me, because his hanging gates are like the opposite of my hanging gate. So we close each other's circuits.
Yes. And it doesn't always have to be a hanging gate. It's just that he has the complementary gate that completes your circuits. Right. And so there are kind of regular hanging gates, but there's also what are called gaps or bridges, which has to do with definition. And I'm going to kind of briefly describe this, because you complete me. Like that. Okay. So definition is basically, if you imagine that somebody who really feels very clear, and this is the way that I've experienced single definition people. There are a number of different definitions in human design. There's single definition, which means that there's only one single circuit and it's continuous and it runs throughout the whole body to connect every single different defined center. So all of those defined colored in centers. There's a split definition, which has two variations, split small, split wide. Split small means that you have only one gate. And if you get one gate, your system is suddenly complete. Like you don't have any gaps in your circuitry at all. Split wide is harder because it requires a number of different jumps. Like it's not just one gate between completing your circuitry. It's multiple gates between completing your circuitry. And then there's triple split, which means that you literally have three different electrical systems inside your body and they're not connected. Triple split, and I'll kind of go into this in a minute. And then there's quadruple split, which is like less than 5% of the population. And that's my husband. He's a quadruple split. And it's like mind-boggling to me because they have a very like specific, they literally have four different systems that are all different that are trying to talk to each other all the time.
Can you post a picture of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can take out the details and post a picture of it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to kind of go through what it means to be defined here right now. Okay. So definition, I mentioned, is all about a combination of gates and channels and defined centers. Okay. And so what it means is that like I said, in theory, we all kind of want to be single definition, because single definition means that we have one electrical system inside our body and that one electrical system is talking to all of the different defined parts inside of us. That means that we don't have any gaps between two of our lit up centers and three of our lit up centers, such as Anna's is. Anna has her throat and her G center are connected in a circuit. And then she has a gap between that and her three lower systems, her heart, her solar plexus, and her spleen are all on a different system, right? So for Anna, especially if you do your chart with genetic matrix, hers says split small, and then it has in parentheses a bunch of different gates, 10, 20, 22, 25, and 45. The interesting thing is that these hanging gates are the ones that will complete her circuitry. So they can be a real pitfall for people. The fewer you have, the more of a pitfall they are, because one of two things. Either you stay in a relationship with somebody who completes your circuitry, even when you shouldn't, right? Because you're just like, oh, I feel complete. Like, you know, an example would be, you know, Anna, your son completes your circuitry and you're like, I just want my son to stay at home all the time. But it's actually just because you want him to stay at home all the time because he completes your circuitry. He makes it easier for you to be around, right? Or the second is that you can become obsessed with trying to complete this circuit yourself in your life, right? And a great example is that my son has a single hanging gate, right? It's gate 16 is his single hanging gate. Like he has this whole complex system. And if he has this one gate is complete, his system is complete. And this gate is the mastery maven.
Do you mean that he has the black and red lines everywhere?
He has the black and red lines everywhere, but the ones that are fully connected in the circuitry.
Yeah.
That are connected through channels. He has them all connected. He has, except for one, there's one gap in his whole system. No, they're not all
connected.
There's
so many gaps in my system.
There's so many.
No wonder I'm a codependent.
You have five different gaps in your system, which means that in some ways it's good, because it means that there's a lot of chance for the people who you come into auric connection with, or transits that are happening in the world, because obviously there's a placement when we're born, but we are also under the influence of everything that's happening astrologically right now. So we're getting access to different gates all the time. Like right now, I think we're in transit for seven, like gate seven is in transit. The sun is in gate seven, right? So everybody who doesn't have a gate seven can feel the gate seven, because that's where the sun is right now. So my son, what I was saying is that he's got the mastery maven is his particular gap. Like his gap in his system is six. It's also the more traditional name is called enthusiasm skills, right? So it's all about devoting yourself to the mastery of your craft. So my son could go on a side quest in his life to try and become a master of something, because he struggles, because he feels like somebody told him at some point that he needed to master something before he could move on, but he doesn't have consistent access to that energy, right? He doesn't have the ability to do that. And he could get totally caught on a side quest of trying to become a master when actually he's supposed to just be a jack of all trades, right? Like that's the access that he consistently has, is not to being a master, but to being a jack, right? Okay. And so to kind of get back to the anatomy and kind of ground this in what we're saying, and as a reminder, gates, there are 64 gates, and you will see all those gates. You have 26 different placements, and sometimes they double up, right? Like sometimes, like, I don't know if you have a double one, Anna, I can't see it. Like sometimes even on your red side, you'll have two 64s because, you know, both your, you know, your Venus and your Mercury were in gate 64 when you were born. You have 26 placements, which translates to 26 or less gates. Those gates are placed in your chart, and when they connect with another one, so when they're lit up on both sides, there's a black or a red on both sides, they create a channel. a channel is what forms a defined center. So going back to Human Design 2, defined center. So if you look at your chart, when you have a channel, which means that the gate on both sides, doesn't matter if it's red or black, the gate on both sides, both of the centers on either side of that channel are going to be lit up. They're going to be defined. Can you see
okay,
that?
Okay, so yeah, like, so for me, it looks like 26 and 44 is lit up on both sides.
Exactly. That is a channel, right? And if you go down to your channels at the bottom, this is a genetic matrix one that she's looking at. It says channels and it says 26, 44, the channel of surrender. Do you see that? On the left side, under at the very bottom of all the text.
Okay. Yeah. 26, 44, surrender. Right. So I'm good at surrendering.
It has a lot to do with being good at surrendering, but there's like, it also has to do with the need to surrender, and surrender is going to be a theme throughout your life. Right. And it, okay. You also have the 731, which is the alpha, which I love because the alpha is all about becoming a democratic leader of a community. Right. And like, and I feel like I've seen you do that at the podcast. I've seen you do that in your neighborhood. It's like this kind of, you're leading the way in a lot of different ways to kind of become the alpha, but not the toxic alpha that we oftentimes think about.
Does your son just have a ton of those then?
He doesn't necessarily have, Luke has a ton of them. My son still has 26 or less gates. His system is a split small definition, which means that there's just one tiny gap. And then that one tiny gap is what he can start to obsess with because it's the one thing he doesn't have that completes his system. Right. Okay. So when you are looking at your gates, there are a couple of things that I kind of want to point out. I mentioned hanging gates as a very key thing to pay attention to. I also mentioned how if a gate is showing up red, that means it's unconscious, which means that it is more likely that it can have a shadow aspect to it. And if it's black, it's a personality placement, which is when you were born, and it's something that you're more consciously aware of, and it's something that you have conscious access to all the time. Okay. And so, and then if you have a hanging gate, that hanging gate is when you have a gate that doesn't create a channel. It doesn't have a gate on the other side. So it's just kind of hanging. And so oftentimes, especially if it's directly connected to your definition, which is split small, split wide, triple and quadruple, you're going to find that the hanging gates become very important. The thing is that if you're undefined or unactivated gates, which you can only see when you look at a body graph, because you can see all the things that are white and not colored in, those things in particular are just things that you have inconsistent access to. And I mentioned this before when I said to Anna, hey, when you and your son are in close proximity, you guys, your auras are mixing. And when your auras mix, you are borrowing his gate, right? So there are a couple of ways, there are two specific ways that we can have access to the energy of an unactivated or an undefined gate, which is the ones that aren't colored in. The first is by going into the auric field of somebody else. That includes trees, that includes animals. They all have designs, so they are going to have different, they're going to have, trees and animals have fewer gates than humans do. But they are going to give you access to gates that you don't have a consistent access to. And the second way is through where the planets are currently transiting, right? So the wherever, like I mentioned, right now, there are 13 placements of where the planets currently are. I believe that we are in gate 7 for the sun, which means that right now, if one of your hanging gates requires a gate 7, you're feeling a lot better right now, right? Like I met somebody yesterday, or I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago in a session, and they're a projector and they don't usually have access to that sacral energy. That's the, it's the square, the second square up from the bottom. But because of a transit that's happening right now, I checked their transit chart, and their transit chart's like, yeah, they have access, full access to a bunch of energy. And they were like, oh, that's amazing. Like, I have a bunch of energy now. Like, I feel like I have all this energy that I don't normally have. And it's because their circuitry got completed. One of their hanging gates was completed and made a channel because of the transits that are happening. Does that make sense, Anna?
It totally makes sense. And then, like, for instance, for seven, if we're using that as an example, I do have a straight black line in there. So I already had it closed. So what would that matter mean if I'm in a seven transit?
It just means it's more emphasized, but the basics of it is that you are understanding that it's like, yeah, okay, like, I don't really need this, and it doesn't necessarily add anything to me at the moment, other than more, maybe more emphasis of something that I had before.
All right. I'm really discouraged by how blank my highways are.
Don't be discouraged. I can show you mine.
Show me yours, because I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's so many hanging gates.
Yeah. And that's okay.
No wonder I'm such a codependent.
No, it's not so much that is. It's just like, here, I'll show you. I'm going to show you my daughter.
I'm so envious of your sons.
Well, I mean, you should see Luke's. I'll show you Luke's here in a second. My husband's. My daughter's has, do you see how many gates are just hanging out all over the place? And she only has two defined centers. She literally only has one channel.
Okay. This is your daughter. She's got a lot of hanging gates like me.
Yep. Which means that she's going to find, but interestingly, she has single definition, meaning because she only has two defined centers, she only has one channel and she's a single definition. And I'll get into that in a second, but, yeah. I'll give you guys examples of these charts. A reflector, which is less than 1% of the population, a reflector has no channels at all. Everything is a hanging gate, right? That's what makes them a reflector, right? Is that they're constantly, they don't have any defined centers. So everything is being amplified in their centers, and being around other people is just allowing them to kind of judge and feel the universe and the environment around them in a very specific and unique way, because they don't have anything to kind of keep for themselves, if that makes sense.
Amaji,
right?
And Sandra Bullock.
Exactly. So this is, you can see here, and I'll give this chart as an example. This is a quadruple split. To look at all of these. And you guys, we'll put this in the show notes as well. He's got a quadruple split, and he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hanging gates, which means that he literally has 7 gates, and he has this system here. He has his ajna and his throat are connected. His G center and his sacral are connected. His heart and his spleen are connected, and his root and his solar plexus are connected, but none of them are connected to each other.
So would this make someone have difficulty making decisions, because it's all autonomous situations?
Exactly. It takes a really long time for things to get through. And so that's what I'll explain here. I'm going to kind of work from single definition up to quadruple. Single definition people, again, they're very clear. They have, you know, some single definition people have like 6 defined centers, but they're all connected to each other. Right. So they're usually pretty quick and pretty self-assured with who they are. Right. They don't oftentimes feel as if they almost have like 2 different personalities that are kind of trying to talk to each other, but having difficulty doing it. Right. That's a single definition person. Split definition person, which is you and I, Anna, we are often going to feel, especially if it's a small split, there's only one hanging gate, there's only one gate that needs to complete it. We're often going to become obsessed with what's called the not self. I've talked about the not self in the past, but the not self is that example of, like, for instance, my son, you know, him, if he were to suddenly become obsessed with mastering some sort of skill, right? We can become obsessed with the thing that we don't have access to, or obsessed with finding someone who has a thing that we don't have access to. And that's why in some ways having only one small split is, it feels almost more easy to fall into the trap of the not self, right? Because you're always looking for what you don't have, as opposed to just appreciating what you do have. The next type is triple split. And triple split is so fantastic. I once actually heard a description of a triple split being much more likely to have affairs, because they thrive in positions in which there are lots of people around, Right. So, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they want to talk to lots of people. It may be that they just love going to the grocery store and being totally anonymous with their triple split. Right. They're just like, because what happens is that in a grocery store, they're running into people and coming across people all the time. And they're getting to feel all three of their brains, so to speak, all three of their systems connecting in these really new and interesting ways all the time. And so they may find it, that's one aspect, they may find it hard to be monogamous. Right. Because they want to be, or they may be the type of person who would have a really big family because they want to have plenty of different designs that they can move around and play around in to try and complete their circuits because they have three different kind of circuitry, three different brains, so to speak.
We should do a case study and do the charts on all these like moms of 10 people on Instagram, the moms of 10 on Instagram, all these influencers.
That's hilarious. We totally
it's
should.
Fascinating. Yeah. It makes sense though.
Yeah. And then quadruple split, they don't actually have the quality of being less monogamous. They just have the quality of absolutely hating anybody telling them what to do or trying to speed them up, which is probably like the case study of the thing that I know really, really well with my partner. And yet I'm getting better. I'm getting better at trying to go with his speed. But
so that's with a quadruple split. You said they don't like to be sped up.
They don't like to be sped up. They don't, and they need to be able to decide, and they are their own authority. Like they are going to be super unhappy with anybody telling them what to do at all.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So moving right along, those are the kind of four different definitions that you can see when we're talking about the circuitry of when the gates turn into channels and when the channels then create the defined centers and what the definition means. It means you have this complete circuitry in which all of your centers are connected through channels. So those are kind of the really key aspects when it comes to everything. I haven't really gone into channels a lot, but channels are important because obviously channels are what connects you. It's what creates defined centers and things like that. You can kind of think of like in terms of the hierarchy of your system when you're trying to understand how everything is placed. I wish I could give an astrology thing, but I don't actually understand the astrology, like the hierarchy within astrology, but that channels are kind of one of the most important things when looking at gates, because it's what you have full access to all the time. And it's what creates your defined centers. So if you're having to look at anything, especially if you have a human design book or something like that, look at your channels first. Look at how your channels represent whatever it is. If you have a good source, you'll notice that the channel has an overall theme for the channel, and then it'll break it down into the two gates that make up the channel, right? So for instance, if you're doing, there's one that's called the mutation. Mutation is a channel that has two gates. One gate is all about the trouble at the beginning, like the real trouble at getting started with stuff. And then the second gate is all about limitation. And by understanding the two gates that make up the channel of mutation, you can kind of start to understand the channel of mutation better and how it's kind of a synthesis of these two other gates. Okay. So given that we have all of these gates, all of these channels, things like this, I want to kind of go over this really beautiful, I love it. It's a really fun kind of thing that you can do with your gates in particular. And this is where you get out your chart and you're going to look on the right side of your chart, again, at those conscious gates, the black gates that are on the right side. Okay. And if you don't know all the symbols for the planets, I'm going to go over what is in genetic matrix in terms of the order of like north node, south node, you know, it goes sun, earth, north node, south node, moon, and keep on going. But I want to give you guys this little like primer for what additional information these conscious gates can give you. And it's kind of fun. Okay. So Anna, I'm going to do a couple of yours. So going up to the top of the right side, you'll see a circle with a dot in it. That is your conscious sun. In human design, your conscious sun is known as your divine invitation. Your conscious sun is the most important placement in your chart, and it is the aim that your soul wants to experience. And it makes up about 70% of your energy, and everything else in your chart supports the sun's brightest expression. So Anna, your sun's brightest expression is in the contemplative witness, which is also called retreat and privacy, which I think is really interesting because I feel like your life, like becomes brightest and wonderful when you're in that kind of place of retreat, or you're able to witness something. But yours is all about being here to contemplate and share lessons from the past. I mean, that's pretty damn accurate, right? All right. So the next one down is the earth, and the conscious earth is your stability. It's the energy that keeps you grounded, stable, and able to show up authentically. Your sun is directly across from your earth. So basically wherever your sun is determines, they basically draw a straight line across the circle, and that becomes your conscious earth, because it makes sense that they're in opposition to each other, because that's what it is. And that's part of what makes up your incarnation cross, which is literally like the sun and earth line going across in your personality on the day you were born, and then 88 days, which is again at 90 degree angle. So that's how it starts to create a cross. So yours is to be sensitive to the needs of others without sacrificing yourself. That is your stability, right? Without sacrificing yourself is like absolutely crucial, right? Because it becomes unstable if you're sacrificing yourself in your sensitivity for others.
Totally relatable.
All right. Your north and south conscious nodes. The north is the one that is pointing upwards. It kind of looks like a bell curve. And the south is the one that looks like a well. It looks like a chalice. The north and south conscious nodes are your petri dish of your purpose, the way you will observe your own growth and expansion from birth until your Uranus opposition, which is around 40, 41. The south node is the petri dish. And after your Uranus opposition, the north node takes over. So Anna, for you, before the age of 40, 41, your south node was taking over, and your south node was all about maintaining clear and strong boundaries. The petri dish of basically the way you observe your own growth and expansion was all about family and friendship, but also being a boundary master in the first part of your life.
And I failed that lesson.
and what it is now is it's all about being the liberated altruist. So it's all about service, community, but also boundaries, balance, work, and rest. So balance your heart of service with your personal needs. So it's about boundaries again. It's just changing a bit.
Yeah, I love it.
Your conscious moon is all about how you relate to your intuition, emotions, and needs. Often the moon will be a significant part of your inner dialogue and the way you talk to yourself through situations. So Anna, yours is 14, which is the prosperity lumen. It's about possession of and great measure, power skills. It's follow your dreams to create true prosperity. Right. So your inner monologue is going to sound about how are you following your dreams to create true prosperity? And I literally cannot think of a better placement than that, when it's like so much of your inner monologue, from what I can feel just from observing it from the outside, is like, this is how I'm going to make it work. This is going to how it's work. And it has to do with prosperity, not just monetary prosperity, but other types of prosperity
like time and beauty and stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. The next one down, which is the little female symbol with the little horns on it, is the conscious Mercury, which is your currency, how you communicate and exchange value with your energy. And Anna, yours is gate 31, which is all about being the natural leader. So this is the one that we talked about before. It's all about reverently leading others into fair and just vision. So that's your currency. Your currency is funny because it's all about injustice. And it's kind of negative aspect. It's about injustice, but given in its positive one, it's all about you being a natural leader and leading with your sense of justice. The next one is the conscious Venus, which is your sense of beauty, what you find beautiful about life and likely to place immense value on. And your sense of beauty is gate 31, which is the same one. So here you go. You have 31 and 31. So not only is your currency and the value all about your sense of equity and leadership and collective vision and being influential, so is your sense of beauty. I don't know how you feel about that. How do you feel about that?
Is that like a new chapter? Because I feel like it's a new chapter that I really try to surround my home with beauty.
Mm-hmm. I think that what you'll find is that your sense of beauty, the thing, what you find beautiful in life is when you're kind of able to be the natural leader in the situation, which to me makes sense, being a projector. Does that make sense? In the sense that like you're guiding people for a sense of equanimity and justice, and there's an aspect of that that's beautiful, But I also think that there's an aspect of that that's like pure beauty, but I think that there's something deeper in this, which is that your natural leadership ability comes forth as your sense of beauty and your currency. All right, so we just have a couple more. Your conscious Mars is your poison arrow, the thing you must express in the world lest it poisons your mind, body, and spirit. Your conscious Mars is on the right side, and it's okay. your gate 12.
Okay.
And that is interesting. Expressing emotion through poetry and art.
Like, I have a question. How would someone, if someone's listening to this and they look on the right-hand column and they see little symbol for Mars and it says 12 point whatever.
Yeah.
They would then what? Go online and look for conscious Mars 12 point whatever to see.
All they need to do is look up the gate. And I'll put the link for the gate, right? So yes, okay. Thank you. So all they need to do is like, yours says 12.4. Like I said, we're not doing lines. It's gate 12. And what I'm saying is that the conscious Mars is your poison arrow. So for all of our listeners out there, whatever is under whatever gate is lit up under your little male symbol, which is the circle with the arrow pointing up to the upper right, is the thing that you have to do, or else it will poison your mind, body, and spirit. And for you, Anna, being a fine artist is essential to your ability to it's like your poison arrow. If you're not a fine artist, and if you're not like in the experience of the ability, but it's also has to do with like the ability to stand still and like being poetic, artistic expression and discernment is your poison arrow, like the need to do that. So I don't know how you feel about that. Conscious Jupiter, it's your expansion accelerator, the thing that expands your consciousness when embodied in the high frequency and shuts down your consciousness when embodied in the low frequency. Yours is gate 7, which is all about offering guidance, empowerment, and mindful watching. So stay true to the highest vision for the collective. So if you go into a space where your vision of the collective is not the highest vision, and you're propagating the lowest vision of humanity, then that goes into a really bad space. It shuts down your consciousness when it's embodied in a low frequency. Does that make sense? She's nodding her head. Okay, next down is, it looks like an H. It's your conscious Saturn. It's your caution light, the thing you must keep in check to receive the bounty of Jupiter. So Anna, yours in particular is 64, which is the very last gate. And 64 says, it's all about using your imagination and creativity to transcend confusion. That was like one of the first ones that we talked about, is that like for you, your ability to use your imagination to move through confusion is what allows you to envision the highest frequency and highest vision for the community. But it's what's necessary. Your conscious Uranus is the crazy looking symbol thing that's got the H and it's got like a little droplet coming down off of it. That is your conscious Uranus, which is your quirks. The unusual or unique thing about how you express your energy. These tend to be more generational than personal because of the long transit time of Uranus. And yours is about the divine creative, connecting with your natural creative cycles, which I feel like totally matches so much of your family, right? There's so much creativity and beauty and art in your chart, dude. Like so much is in there. It's just crazy.
What is your quirk? I want to know, what is your quirk? What do you have for your Neptune, conscious Neptune?
What is my conscious Neptune? Let me check. My quirk, my conscious Neptune is gate 9, which is the details whiz, which is hilarious because I feel like I'm not, I guess I can be a details whiz. That's the quirk that, considering I've had families of engineers and clockmakers and, chemists and all that kind of stuff, I guess I'm not really surprised that that's the unique or usual little thing on how I express my energy, is like weird ability to do strange detailed things. Like I just built a closet this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So conscious Neptune, your Maya, the illusions you get trapped in and fight to escape. This also tends to be more generational because of its transit time. Again, Neptune has a very long transit time. It's like very far away from the sun. The illusions you get trapped in, for you in particular, Anna, is stick. Yours, Anna, is gate 26, which is all about the believing in an abundant future for everyone. That's your Maya.
I feel like that is how I've been approaching the elections and COVID. I'm just seeing the best for all.
Yeah. But at the same time, recognizing that not everyone is going to get the best, right? Unfortunately, in this world of Maya, the illusion doesn't allow that. So mine is like basically being example of radical self-love is my Maya. It's like an illusion. I'm not supposed to be, I have to be realistic. Last one is your conscious Pluto, your key of truth, the thing that unlocks the truth in your expression. Anna, yours is gate 57, which is all about rustle of papers, trusting your intuition. Trusting your intuition is what allows you to unlock the truth of your expression, which is pretty amazing. Mine is transforming the frequency of your groups by living your values, which I've always learned to be the case. Okay, so that is a really
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, right?
Homeschooling and creating your community on your land.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. I feel like it's super accurate for, I've never been able to just preach. I have to practice it first. And I usually have to be the guinea pig in such a huge way. Your incarnation cross. I've mentioned a couple of times how you would manually find an incarnation cross, but I'm not going to go into that anymore because I feel like you can look that up on the internet and that's great. Your incarnation cross is this last little bit that we're going to do because it is all about the theme of your life. It's also called your gene key. If you've ever heard about gene keys, your gene key is literally your incarnation cross, just with a different terminology. So if you ever put your birthday into a gene key calculator, it's going to tell you your incarnation cross, but it's going to tell you it in a slightly different thing. It's like gene keys is a lot more philosophical, whereas human design is like, this is very, very practical and you actually have to do, you have to take it very, very literally. So when you do your incarnation cross, sometimes it can just be really great to kind of see what it's saying is your theme. What I've found is that most people's incarnation crosses don't become apparent until they're in their late 30s or 40s, right? Like they're finding that there's like that you might learn about it when you're younger, but it doesn't really matter because you still have a lot of life to live in order to be able to understand it. So for instance, mine is the left angle cross of migration. My energy is to seek a break from the existing communities and groups that are built. And by living in a community, I recognize that people make bargains and sacrifices in order to please everyone, such as taxes paid so schools can be built. And at some point, community realizes that it can't please everyone. And my energy is here to be the voice to identify the compromise that has gone too far. And we need to move on and to begin to build again. So my voice contributes to the community building process, which I would definitely say aligns with who and what I am at this point. I do a lot of that in my life. Anna, yours is the RAX, which is the right angle cross, whether that's what okay. RAX stands for, of the four ways too. And I'm going to get exactly what yours
is. Yeah, I'm Googling it to try to figure this out.
RAX of four angles.
Your life theme is to test all the limits of experience in this world and then find an inner stillness for reflection that supports your process of renewal.
How does that feel?
That feels right. This is a lifetime that affords the opportunity to simulate some profound truths.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I really love the incarnation crosses. And like I said, you can look at it in this or in gene keys. They're going to give you slightly different interpretations, but it is all good. So that was a crash course in gates. If I forgot something or anything along those lines, I'm always like, I can't make everybody happy.
I feel like there's a lot of information you covered, but I don't know how you could cover everything. It's such a vast study.
It is a vast study. So I hope that this gives you guys a bit of detail as to how, like, I know somebody who did a gate study with somebody and they literally went through every single one of their gates, looked at it in detail, figured out what it was conscious or unconscious, figured out all those things. Like you can go so, so deeply into gates, into channels, and, you know, do it if it's fun. I really appreciate, I'm going to copy and paste the kind of things I was talking about the conscious sun all the way down to your conscious Pluto. And that's like a fun thing to kind of, it's a very accurate and succinct way of kind of doing an almost astrological look at human design. So, but using gates instead of planets and houses. So
I loved it.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Christina. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah.
Bye.
Do you follow us on TikTok or Instagram? Our handle is this.spiritual.fix, and we hope that you'll follow us there and tell all your friends.
And remember,
humility, gratitude, acceptance, done.
Hello, TSF family. I wanted to offer an exclusive invitation to listeners of the podcast for a retreat that I am hosting in Italy, in Labro, an hour outside of Rome, on Enterogetics. Enterogetics allows us to pull into our body and understand how to create a bulletproof energy field. It's one of the many things that I practice with my clients, and I am so excited to be able to incorporate this very interesting energetic place of Labro with the exclusiveness of a completely restorative retreat that is filled with community, camaraderie, and most of all, connection with our most divine selves. I hope that you'll join me. If you come to www.christinawiltsy.com, you can get more information or reach out at chris@chriswiltsy.com. I hope to see you there. And if you book before August 15th, you'll get an exclusive early bird discount. Thanks, y'all.